Hello, I'm Dr. Steven Spielberg, Editor-in-Chief of Therapeutic Innovation and Regulatory Science, the Journal of the Drug Information Association. In our May 2015 issue of TEARS, we have a special section on ethics with Dr. Wendy Whitworth, a bioethicist based at the University of New South Wales and University of Sydney, as section editor. In addition to an editorial by Dr. Whitworth, we have 7 articles that address a wide range of practical, real-world ethics issues related to the development and use of therapeutic products. With me today are Dr. Whitworth and 2 other contributors to this special section, Dr. Rick Day of the University of South Wales and St. Vincent's Hospital, Sydney, and Dr. Luanne Van Kampen of Eli Lilly. Dr. Whitworth, would you like to provide us an overview of the special section and some of the areas addressed?
Thanks, Dr. Spielberg. I'd be happy to do that. So in the January 2000 very first issue of Therapeutic Innovation and Regulatory Science, Rick Day and I, together with some of our other editorial board colleagues, wrote an editorial. And in this editorial, we proposed that the journal should become a vehicle for the discussion of ethical issues in the development, regulation, and funding of medicines and medical devices. We argued for this for 3 reasons. First, we argued that all of the processes that make up drug development and health technology innovation more generally are heavily value-laden. Secondly, all the decisions about these processes have ethical implications. There are always multiple stakeholder groups whose values may be more or less served by whatever decisions are made. And third, if those involved in drug development want to be morally committed and also want to be seen to be morally committed, then they need to engage non-defensively with ethical issues that can sometimes be quite uncomfortable. And since we wrote the editorial, the journal has indeed proved to be a vehicle for many articles that have explored questions of value. The collection of articles in this special section brings together a number of such papers. I'll now take you through the papers that we've pulled together. First of all, the paper by Clemow and colleagues explores ways of reducing discrimination in clinical research and prescribing in pregnancy. Babiaz et al. Ask difficult questions about corporate integrity in their case study of the influence that investors have over companies' regulatory decisions. Rotelli emphasizes the importance of transparency in the statistical analysis of retrospective health research. Day and colleagues, and you'll hear more about this soon, call for a multi-stakeholder collaboration in the labeling of generic medicines. Klopfenstein and colleagues focus on fairness, doing good and minimizing harm in the establishment and maintenance of expanded access programs. Gina et al. Invoke a similar set of moral principles in their consideration of the harms and benefits of off-label promotion. And finally, Pace and colleagues focus on procedural justice in their exploration of the legitimacy of health technology assessment. So readers of the special section will see that while these articles cover a broad range of topics, they all invoke basic ethical principles such as respecting autonomy, doing good and avoiding harm, promoting justice, being democratic and inclusive, and acting with integrity. I'm really delighted with the outcome of all the hard work being put into this by both the journal editorial team and the authors of the articles. And I now hand back over to Dr. Spielberg, who'll talk to 2 of these dedicated authors.
Thanks, Dr. Whitworth. Dr. Day, you have an article addressing drug labeling. Can you tell us about ethical considerations in this realm and how you approached this subject?
Thank you, Dr. Spielberg. Dr. Whitworth and Giddy and myself are concerned about the disconnect that exists between contemporary evidence-based practice and the information found in drug labels. This is common for generic medicines, and this is a stage in the life cycle of a medicine where the originator and generic sponsors don't have a lot of incentive to update the label. And one example we quote amongst many is the contraindication to the use of metformin in patients with type 2 diabetes, whose glomerular filtration rate is less than 60 mils a minute. That is, they have significant renal impairment. However, contemporary guidelines support the use of this drug in people with glomerular filtration rates down to 30 mils a minute, if taking appropriate precautions, and in fact even lower. So many diabetic patients have glomerular filtration rates much less than 60 mils per minute and would benefit from the drug. So currently there are many patients missing out on the use of this important drug simply because of what's in the label. So this state of affairs is ethically unacceptable, we felt, and we propose a new model for updating this important document, the official drug label, using a multi-stakeholder approach. So that's, we hope, stimulatory for discussion on this really important issue. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Day. Dr. Van Kempen, you and your colleagues have examined expanded access programs. Could you describe some of your conclusions for us?
Yes, we'd be pleased to do that. So my colleagues, Mitch Klopfenstein, who's the first author, and Tim Gardett, and I addressed this issue in the new issue in TIRS. And as your readers know, the main way patients gain access to medicine before regulatory approval is through clinical studies. But there is another avenue, and this is called expanded access, and it's otherwise known as compassionate use. In simple terms, expanded access allows qualified patients with serious or life-threatening diseases early access to an investigational medicine. So that's the medicine still in development and not yet approved by regulators such as the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. And these patients generally have exhausted existing treatment options and don't qualify to participate in a clinical study. Now, what's interesting is although expanded access is a regulated program, the decision to authorize an expanded access request is the responsibility of the company that owns the medicine. And because there are many factors to weigh, this decision becomes very complex. And currently, there is little to no guidance. The question then is, how should a company evaluate the treatment needs of an individual patient with what is currently known about the drug and with what is required to meet the needs of future patients? And what we propose in our article is that a company's decision to authorize a program should be based not only on regulatory criteria, but also on three implementation considerations. And the first is, what is the potential impact an expanded access program could have on drug development efforts for the requested drug, but also more broadly for other drugs the company owns? And the reason this is important is because any delay in drug development imposed by expanded access can be argued to be ethically unacceptable because it could impact future patients. The second consideration is an expanded access program operationally feasible? So it can also be argued that starting a program that is not sustainable is ethically unacceptable, both to those enrolled in the program as well as to others who would like to enroll. And then third, can the program be conducted in a manner that advocates ethical precepts such as fairness, promoting good, and minimizing risk of harm? Considering both the regulatory criteria as well as implementation considerations will help ensure that the authorization decisions are ethically justifiable and that they adequately address the interests of regulators, current and future patients, and the company who is developing the medicine. Right now, as I'm sure most of your readers know, the expanded access topic is being widely discussed in many venues, and there are a number of different models being proposed for how to evaluate a request. But regardless of how the request is being processed, we think the issues presented in our article are really necessary considerations. Thank you.
Thanks so much for that. And thank you all for taking the time for these important discussions. This concludes our podcast for today. To read the full ethics section, including these articles and others in our May issue of TIRS, or for further information, please visit tirs.sagepub.com. That's TIRS.SAGEPUB.com.